appreciate your heart. I appreciate your, Trey, go to junior church, son. I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your burden for ministering to those people. I can't imagine, as they were saying, I can't imagine seeing basically everything that you have and all your decades of life, you know, go to the curb. And but again, thank you for your willingness to minister to those folks. All right, open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. Now, you're going to have to put your seatbelts on and listen really, really fast. All right? So, today we're preaching on this subject, Now the Work Begins. Now the Work Begins. And you'll see as we dig into this portion of Scripture of 2 Peter 1, why we've entitled it such. All right, you found your place. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Of course, Peter writes, and we've looked at the first four verses, so for time, we'll pick up verse 5 and focus today on verse 5 through 7. We'll see how far we get. But Peter mentions here now, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence. So automatically, you see a sense of urgency. Right now the work's going to begin. So Peter says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he lists virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask your blessed reading of your word. We thank you, Father, already for what we've sensed in your presence today. We thank you, God, for the testimonies of the mission team, Lord, that went down. And God, what a blessing it is to see how you used them. And Father, to take heaven, as we've said, it truly will take heaven to show the full impact of their ministry there. We love you, Lord. Bless, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I would only add one thing to the rat patrol. And Toby, actually, I was speaking to him. He said, Dad, he goes, yeah, Tracy and Tracy, you know, they screamed and held each other. He said, but Dad, he said, they actually, when the first rat they saw, they threw Toby towards it. So my baby, my poor baby, almost was eaten by a rat. But so Peter in this text, what he is doing now is, and we've looked at the first four verses. It took us a couple Sundays to go through the first four verses, but as we notice these first four verses, Peter had talked about the fact that he was a believer in Christ. Matter of fact, we saw that in the two words, the two titles, the two names that he begins this letter with. Simon, of course, being his birth name. Peter being the name that he was given after his conversion. And Peter was talking about how, you know, having a relationship with Jesus, being born again, affects every area of your life. But let me just say something to you, and here's kind of the premise behind the title of Now the Work Begins. Salvation is just the beginning. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. Can I get a witness in this room? Jesus saved you to radically transform and change your life and therefore, because of that, you then become a trophy of the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Now, having said all that, if you're here today and you do not know Christ, the good news is if you're here today or you watch the internet around the world, you can become born again. You can repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. The message of the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. As Ryan sang tonight, tremendous, tremendous message and song. It's true, yes, indeed, people need the Lord. And perhaps today you need the Lord. Please do not turn us off. Do not check out. I really sincerely mean, I hope that you'll trust Christ before it's eternally too late. So what Peter does now, he's established the fact that in the first four verses of this like precious faith, those who have obtained the like precious faith that Peter enjoys. Peter was a born-again believer. He had faith in God. He had faith in Christ. And as a result of that, Peter talks now about seven characteristics, seven things, if you will, of a godly life, that as a believer in Jesus, we are to add to our faith. We are to, in the word add, actually the word add in this text, it means to supply generously. In other words, you develop one quality as you exercise another quality. So Peter begins, he says, add this, and oh, by the way, then add this. Oh, and as you add that, you need to add this. So these characteristics of this godly life that Peter is describing for us really give us an indication to what he wants us to have and what he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. If you were to look in the book of Philippians, for example, in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is telling the believers of the church at Philippi there that he makes a statement. And the statement that Paul makes, he makes a statement, this is what he says. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, to those that just kind of look at that on the surface level, there may be those that say, well, see right there, preacher, you work, right? Salvation is a work salvation, meaning that you have to work your way into heaven. That is not what Paul was saying. The Apostle Paul is actually using an image of agriculture. He's using farming terminology. When Paul uses the phrase, work out your own salvation, it carries with it the idea of for example, growing up in Kentucky with my grandmother and grandfather, you've heard this story, but I illustrate the text from this story. She raised gardens. And if you can imagine, raising a garden, my grandmother didn't just walk out, to a grass field and start planting seeds. She didn't do that. She didn't walk out to a grass field and just dig holes and put tomato plants in there. No, no, sir, no, ma'am. She took a piece of land. She cleared it. The family had cleared it of debris years before that, had cleared it of debris. The neighbor with his tractor would lay over the land and dig it all up and get all, we would get all the rocks out. Meaning she would take that piece of ground and do everything, here it is, do everything she could to see that land could produce how it should produce. Now, when the Apostle Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, what he's telling us is this. Just as that farmer takes that piece of land and adds, tills it up and breaks up the clods and gets the rocks out and adds the nutrients if necessary and all that. He makes certain that he's doing everything that he can to get as most out of that piece of land that he possibly can. The Apostle Paul is telling us that if you know Christ your Savior, you ought to do everything necessary and everything that you possibly can to get the most out of your salvation that you possibly can get out of that. You say, Pastor, yeah, but why is that important to me? I'll tell you what. Let me say it like this. It's important to God. It's important to God. You carry the name of Jesus everywhere that you go if you're a believer in Christ. Everywhere that you go, you carry the name of Christ. Everywhere that you go, you represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I get a witness in this room? You are a kingdom kid. You've heard me say that recently. You're born again, you're a kingdom kid. You belong to Jesus. And because you belong to Jesus, let me back it up like this. As parents, we expect our kids to act a certain way, don't we? Right? We don't want our kids acting foolish. We don't want our kids, now sometimes they do that, but we expect them, we want them to act a certain way. Why? Because they're our children. If you see other people's children that are acting up and acting foolish, it is what it is. You would often say, man, they're not my kid. Or you'll say something like this, oh, if I had them for a week, right? You know what we mean by that, right? My little grandmother, oh, if I had them, honey, for a week. What does that mean? I'll leave it alone. It means you take them to McDonald's, DHS, that's what it means. But anyway, if I had them for a week. But the point is that when they're your children, when they belong to you, when there's a relationship, it's a much different thing. When there's a relationship, there's more, what's the word? Expectation. You see, God has an expectation of you. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? You better believe I believe that. Because the Bible absolutely supports it. When the Lord saves you, he didn't just save you. You've heard it. He doesn't save us to set. He doesn't save us just to occupy a place. Brad, can I get a little more monitor, please? I feel like I'm screaming at you. And I do that because I don't know how far I'm throwing my voice. You see, this sanctuary is so long. You know this, right? Our sanctuary is so long that when I preach it up here, it becomes a rumor in the back of the place. I mean, that's so you got to be careful. You got to make certain, you know. So anyway, so we don't want to lose our voice on that. So we see the urgency of this text. So number one, we see the urgency. The Apostle Peter, look what he says here in verse 5. He says, "And beside this," literally that phrase, "and beside this," means for this very reason. Because of all the God-giving blessings in verse 3 and 4, the believer cannot become indifferent or even self-satisfied. The Bible teaches us and tells us, he then goes on in the context of the urgency of this text, he says, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. If you think of me just for a moment, what does it mean? What does it mean to give diligence to your walk with God? Give diligence to your relationship with Jesus Christ. The phrase giving all diligence carries with it the idea of making maximum effort. What is our relationship with Jesus? The Christian life, it's been said and it's true, the Christian life is not lived to the honor of God without effort. That's a good word. The Christian life is not lived to the honor of God without effort on your part. It takes intentionality. Say, wait a minute, preacher. It is the Lord Jesus that is conforming me to the image of God's Son. You're absolutely right. But ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand something. God expects his children to act a certain way. He expects his children to be a certain way. He expects his children to stay teachable. He expects his children. Here's a word, and I know it's a word that's often missing in this culture. You're aware that God, of his children, God expects obedience. God expects obedience. In the context of obedience, we understand and know that as a believer in Jesus, we're not. You say, yeah, but pastor, nobody's perfect. You're absolutely right. And I would amen that. And we're not perfect. But as a believer in Jesus, friend, in the context of diligence and adding, giving all diligence, giving maximum effort, Peter now begins to list some things that we should add to our faith. When he uses the phrase, add to your faith there, look at the text there, verse 5. He says, giving all diligence, maximum effort. Like Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Get everything that you can out of your salvation. You know, I'm grateful for this missions team because I'll tell you, friend, and I mentioned it already, but it took them out of their comfort zone. It took them out of their comfort zone. But you know what I love about my Lord? God loves to stretch his children beyond our natural ability. God loves to stretch his children far beyond often our natural ability or our natural comfort zones. You say, preacher, why does God like to do that? Here's why. So that he gets the glory. So that he gets the glory for it. So that he is the one that absolutely is honored, and what a tremendous blessing. It was a blessing to hear their heart, you know, throughout the week as we would correspond through text or even on the phone and with a phone call, and they would share their stories of being in Walmart and, total strangers, because they had the yellow shirts on, total strangers would walk up and just share their heart and, share their stories and thank them for being there, thank them for coming all that way to love on them and to help them and minister to them. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's a true statement when that the lady wrote in the little card, of being the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, it's true that people often, especially in a lost and dying world, people would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. They'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. If the God that you say you serve, if he is real, then that relationship that you have with him, it should naturally be fleshed out in your life. Everything that we do should be as a result of belonging to him. Everything that we do should be a result of belonging to him. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is our Lord. You say, yeah, but Pastor, you already said nobody's perfect. You're right. But I believe as a believer in Jesus, we should not strive to be as little of Christ-like as we can be. We should strive to be as much as Christ-like we can possibly be. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with me? You see, I think sometimes we say, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Well, you're on your way to heaven when you die. When's the last time you read your Bible? Preacher, I'm children's church. You're 45 years old, sir. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? Well, preacher, I'll tell you what. I've had people make this statement. Well, preacher, I just don't have the gift of of sharing the gospel. Let me just tell you, it's not a gift. It's a command of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's a command of God. How would you feel if you said to your child who belongs to you, right? They're your child. God's blessed you. God's given you them and given them to you. And you're called to be their parent, not the friend. Amen? I tell my kids that. God called me to be your dad, not your friend. Now, I'll be friendly to you. But as a dad, I'm to be your father. But anyway, how would you like as a dad if you went to get little Johnny up on maybe on Monday morning and you've had fun all weekend, you got little Johnny up and you say to little Johnny, hey, honey, I want you to get up and I want you to go to school this morning. How would you feel if little Johnny looked at you and said, well, Dad, I'm going to pray about that. How would you feel? You say, preacher, yeah, I know what you're thinking. There are some things in life that you don't have to pray about. And being a witness for Jesus, you don't have to pray about that. Sharing the gospel with the lost and dying world, you don't have to pray about that. It's a command of Almighty God. You have the orders from headquarters, the Lord Jesus, our commander-in-chief, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a glorious God that He is. He's a wonderful Savior. And we know in the context of the local assembly, it takes a local assembly to properly fulfill the Great Commission of, baptizing them and teaching them and growing them in their faith as far as it does. It takes a local ministry, I believe, to do that. So Peter here says, to add to your faith. I love another illustration of that phrase, add to your faith. It carries with it, kind of a choir leader. It carries with it, a choir leader who has supplied everything necessary for the choir to do and be at their best, providing more than is barely demanded, to provide beyond the basic need. So Paul, again, and Peter, you say, well, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, he's tying, and look at verse 3 for a minute. Let's look at verse 3 and 4 and lay some groundwork that I hope to tie together so it makes sense to you. So Peter's telling us to add to our faith. Now, why is he telling us that? Why is he saying, carrying with it the idea of abundantly supplied, it's already been abundantly supplied to you, you now have to draw on the resources of it. You now have to make it a proper perspective of your life. God has given you everything that you need, believer. God has given you everything that you need. Look up here for a minute. If you're born again, God has given you everything that you need to have a godly life that pleases Jesus. He's given you everything that you need. Look at the text of verse 3. According as His divine nature hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. Not just great. Exceeding great. Boy, that's powerful. Exceeding, they're not just great, they're exceeding great. And precious, look at it, promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And now, contextually, Peter says, beside this, add to your faith. Faith is just foundational. The foundation of faith. Add to it. Add to your life, and we'll give you one thing to add, virtue. Look at that. Verse 5. Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Moral power, if you will. It carries with it the idea of moral energy and of vigor. It's power that transforms deeds to excellence. It meant that God-given ability to, I love this definition. It's the God-given ability to perform heroic deeds. Add to your faith virtue. Have virtue should be so evident in your life that God uses you to do things that absolutely will not only amaze you, but it will absolutely be so powerful and used for the kingdom of God. You see, God loves to take things, infuse them with his grace and power so that he gets the glory. But God also loves to take us that we're very limited. You know that, right? We're very limited in our own strength. But with God, all things are possible, man. God can take our little and do a lot with it. Ask the little boy. Remember the boy in the New Testament? The little lad and his lunch. Remember that? You know, you can see his mom send him out with, you know, some fish and some bread, and says, okay, you know, go on to school, little Johnny, and all of a sudden little Johnny leaves, and man, he sees a multitude of people, and the curiosity got the best of little Johnny. He's going to see what's going on, so he got a little sidetracked, detoured. I'm sure he had ADD as far as, you know, he got distracted, you know, right? Squirrel, and he chased a squirrel, but anyway, so he shows up, and there's Jesus, and there's a whole crowd of people, and they're hungry. They're Baptists, and they're hungry, and that's dangerous. Ooh, fight is going to break out if you don't feed a Baptist when he gets hungry. Somebody asked me what my belt was one time, and I said, you know what my belt is, don't you? They said, what is it? I said, my belt is simply a fence behind a chicken graveyard. But this little boy, you know, they find the little boy, it's got just a little bit of food, and they say to Jesus, what is it among so many? And Jesus says, well, give it to me. What does Jesus do? Jesus took that little boy's lunch, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And God multiplied it so much that the baskets that they filled up, I think, were like 12 baskets of fragments. More than enough. More than adequate. You say, Pastor, what's the significance? I'll tell you the significance to use it in what we've been talking a lot about today. God used 4 of our members to go to Texas. They didn't give just a little. They gave all that they had as far as physically. And God used them. And you maybe you missed this statement, but I want to bring it back to you. God used them to bring hope back to a lady who lost hope. You see, when you look at pictures like that and you think, wow, man, that kind of had some hoarding tendencies. You do know that oftentimes behavior is just indicative of something that maybe was traumatic in their life and it kind of stopped them at that moment. 14 years ago, she lost her husband. And you see, you have a pastor. I mean, come on. You've got to move. Listen, friend. Be very careful making judgment based on what you see. Be very careful about that. You don't know. You know the proverbial phrase, right? You know, unless you walk a mile in somebody's shoes, you can't judge them unless you've walked in their shoes. So here this dear little lady was, lost her husband some 14 years ago. And perhaps because of the traumatic event, you know, it kind of stopped her. And she lost all hope. But God chose to bring some people from Michigan to bring hope to her. What a blessing. This is the first time, as far as I was told, this is the first time in the history of the disaster relief of the Southern Baptist Convention that they've worked with an independent Baptist church. I find it ironic that they gave us the worst house they've ever had. Brother Tommy, did you catch that? If they're wanting us, we'll never be Southern Baptists. I'm just telling you. Right? We're going to give the independent Baptists because, you know, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. So we're going to give them the independent Baptists this house. But I find it ironic. But you know what? I was taught by my pastor that if you have an opportunity, if a need arises and you have an opportunity to meet a need, again, there's some things you don't have to pray about. I mean that. I sincerely mean that. If you have an opportunity to meet a need and you have the resources to meet that need, you don't have to pray about that. Just meet the need. Right? So God takes 4 of our members and they go down there into a home that literally, and here's my thought, I'm done. people had already been to her home. And I'm not passing judgment. People, workers had already been to her home and they left. They wouldn't come back. Wow. You know what I'm grateful for? The Savior that I have. He came to my filth and he didn't leave. He came into my pain. He came into my hopeless situation. And he infused it with his grace and mercy. And he infused it with his unconditional love and radically changed my life. You see, friend, you never know how God can use you. You say, well, Pastor, I'll be honest. I never really thought. And to be quite honest with you, you know, those of you that want to do a mission trip financially, this is one of the cheapest mission trips you can go on. It really truly is. One of the cheapest mission trips you can go on. Just, I mean, the church, you know, took care of the gas. I mean, that was a big expense as far as that. But it's one of the cheapest mission trips you can go on. So if you're looking to do a mission trip, we highly recommend that. We'll get you, see any one of these four, and they can get you some information on that and tell you about what to do to get trained in it. And sometimes it happens in Michigan. Needs arise. Whenever the water crisis happened in Flint, you know, the disaster team went up, not ours, but a disaster team, if I'm right on this, they went up and they handed out water bottles. You say, Pastor, just a water bottle? Well, let me tell you how God works. God says you can't give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name without it going recognized by God, without God not blessing it. So understand something. God works in mysterious ways. He does amazing things. So Peter says, you want to be effective for the kingdom of God? Add virtue to your life. You know, stay surrendered. God's given us exceeding great and precious promises. And because he's given exceeding great and precious promises, we now got to draw from that spiritual bank account that God's given us. It's already there. The question is, will you use it? The question is, will you be disciplined enough to really be intentional in your life, give diligence to it? Will you do that? Stand with me, please, for him imitation. We trust if God has dealt with your heart that you will respond. Please respond if the Lord's touched you. You say, Pastor, I know, man, God's really spoke to me. I know I'm not where I need to be, but preacher, I know. I mean, when God saved me when I was a kid, man, and then life happened and I got so busy. And listen, we should never get so busy to where we can't, you know, serve Jesus. If we're so busy and we can't serve Jesus, then friend, we're just flat too busy. Amen. Can I get a witness in this room? If we're so busy that we can't serve Christ, we're too busy. And we need to get back to the Lord and let God prioritize our life. Because he'll do far greater job of it than we can. Maybe today you'd like to go, just come to the altar and ask God to help you. And say, Preacher, I want to be used of God. And I never even looked at going and help clean somebody's house out as ministry. Oh, it absolutely is ministry. They brought hope to that lady. They brought hope to that precious lady who by own lips says she knows Christ as her Savior. She's one of our sisters in Christ. She's part of the family of God, and we're going to spend heaven together. We're going to spend eternity in heaven together. And God allowed them to bring hope into her life. And maybe here today, say, Preacher, I don't know Christ. I'll be honest. I just go through the motions. I come to church, I'm just going through the motions. Listen, quit going through the motions. Give your life to Jesus and let Jesus radically transform your life. Will you do that? Yeah. If you're not saved, watch a minute. Same to you. Give your life to Christ. Maybe you are saying, Preacher, I know the Lord, but man, I want to do more. Hey, we'll put you to work. Work begins now, right? But the work begins now. We got to, you know, today is the day of salvation. Right now, right this very moment. We must work now. The night cometh when no man can work, Jesus said. You come as we sang. What's your number, Brother Ryan?
451, I surrender all.
451, you come. 451, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust in his presence daily live. I surrender all.
appreciate your good attention today. How many we have today, guys? 188. Amen. Good. Good number in the house of the Lord. Brother Ryan, any announcements?
Just a couple things. Yeah, we have the Christmas banquet for December 2nd. Next Sunday is the final the deadline for getting your money in, signing up for that. Please do that. I know a lot of people like to wait till the last minute, but it's good to have our count and our number. So if you could please get that taken care of today, that'll be a big help. So please do that. Cost is $10 a person, and that'll be Saturday, December 2nd. And you can see Bill or Bonnie Weir for the tickets and any more information that you need on that. Please do that today. Again, next Sunday is the deadline, so please take care of that today. And then I did get a card here, or not me personally, but the church was given a card here from Brother Solomon, the missionary to the Philippines. He was here just a few weeks ago, and he wrote, I just wanted to read it to the church. It says, Dear Pastor Tracy Harold and the church, hello, how are you? And hope and pray that all is fine. I just want to say thank you very much for the honor and privilege of presenting our ministry in the Philippines. Thank you for having a big heart for missions. Thank you for the love gift that you gave. It is a big help covering my traveling expense. I am so blessed to see how the Lord is blessing your church and helping many people. Please continue to pray for us, and thank you for your partnership. Philippians 1:3, Brother Solomon. So I just want to read that to the church, and I know he was preaching just a few Sundays ago, and was really a blessing, showed his ministry and what he's doing there, all the different churches that they planted, and different pastors that are taking them over, and all the people that have been saved. So we just want to keep Brother Solomon in our prayers, and I guess we have one more.
Just one quick announcement. Yes, I'm going to ask that the mission team that went to Texas, if they wouldn't mind, go ahead and come back to the back. Okay. So our folks can come by and shake your hand and just congratulate you. Maybe people have questions about how to get involved in that. So if you don't mind, guys, go ahead right now and just head out back to the Welcome Center area and stand there and have our people just come by and love on you and encourage you, man. We appreciate it. It was a tough, tough thing, and it was an emotional trip for them. So go ahead, Brother Ryan. That's all
right.
I got.
That's all I have, too. And Brother Joe Hall, go ahead and close us in prayer.